We go to Dave Schluter now. Dave, I saw you after Home Sweet Home Chicago. You were so excited to tell me something important that our listeners needed to know a little bit more about. First of all, good to talk to you again, my friend.
You too. And that ice maker in the door on the 18th floor is killer.
Oh,
I'm really glad she took care of that.
That's what Iridian does. It goes above and beyond. Yes. Okay, Dave Schluter, we're talking about an extra debt on a title that maybe people were unaware existed. Is that kind of a good starting point?
No, that's perfect. Yeah, so there's been cycles during my nearly now 40 years of practicing real estate law where the mortgage market has had huge cycles. But one of the biggest one ever, and hopefully people aren't in too much pain when I mention the year 2008, but what happened was the lenders, it all contracted. It made it very difficult to get residential loans for many reasons. You can watch the movie The Big Short, and that'll tell you what happened. Commercial lending was the next shoe to drop. But what happened was for people avoiding foreclosure, because that meant packing your bags and you might be in a school district, who knows what it meant. You just don't move, right? So the banks came up with these loan modifications. And what they did was they said, look, we don't want to buy your house. We don't want to own your house in a foreclosure. Let's punct your payments out that you've missed. We'll do it to 40 years, or we'll take the last 12 and stick them on the back end so it'll be like a 31-year mortgage. But what is now coming to roost in title searches I'm seeing is that as part of that process, the document package that was sent to those struggling homeowners included a brand new second mortgage in the amount of whatever the lender had missed for payments, i.e., you got 3 years you weren't paying, which happened to some people, 2 years. There's recorded mortgages that are $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 second mortgages.
So wait, let me pause you there. Let me pause you.
Yep.
Make sure I got it. So 2008 happens, and you're going to foreclose on a bunch of houses because no one can pay their mortgage because they lost their gig, lost their job. The bank doesn't really want to take on these houses and pay off the mortgage now anyways for reasons I don't think are altruistic necessarily, Dave. I mean, they want you to be a paying customer ultimately, but also they don't want to probably take on the property if they don't have to. The banks were not doing great either. So they worked out a deal where maybe they extended the length of your mortgage, or they said those 12 payments, we'll tack them on instead at the end instead of right now. But in order to facilitate that, was it part of the second mortgage had to be taken out that homeowners maybe didn't see the paperwork for? How did they not know that a second mortgage was taken out?
What they did is they resecured their collateral for an investment position of all that money in case there wasn't a bailout or whatever. And basically, people would come into the borrower's homes, a notary service sent by the lenders, and the people needed to be grateful anyway for the modification because the day you sign a mortgage, you do owe the money. Nobody's saying that you don't owe the money, but it's a matter of just, being able to stay in your home. And until it happens to you, you can be a critic. But the bottom line is, there was a lot of desperation. So what the lenders did in those documents, people didn't go into title companies. That might have alerted them, like, why are we at a title company? These were doc signature services that would come, and they would sign pages 9 through 14 were a brand-new recorded mortgage, and it would get recorded. Now, there were no mortgage payments due on those, no monthly installments were due. One client that filed bankruptcy and didn't even know about it. The issue is now what's happening is the titles are on there. Now they're making the move. Maybe they're going to go take on a smaller place or larger, and then the lawyer goes, okay, I need two payoff letters. I need one for XYZ financial institution for your main loan, $169,900, and then I need that other one, and they go, what do you mean that other one? And so it puts them possibly knocked out of their ability to sell. It definitely limits how much money they can bring to the next closing, but the call that came in, the caller for Home Sweet Home Chicago had gotten a letter after their sale went through. The title company made a bad judgment that it must be paid off. If you pay mortgage number one and it's the same lender in mortgage number two, this title company misinterpreted that the payoff included both. Now they're done. They already closed on another place and they're getting billed $30,000 or $40,000 because that loan is still out there. Mm. And so,
that's a unique scenario. Yeah, that's a unique scenario.
Yes.
So wait. Yes. I just want to make sure I understand. If you had a second mortgage that you owed $50,000 on, don't you get a bill every month?
On those they didn't bill you. Yeah, that's what I mentioned. So it just sat there, In fact, they don't even grow in value. They're just a security instrument, which is a fancy word for a brick against your home. And the idea is that when you do sell, you do have to get two payoffs. In other words, you never really escaped the missed payments. They stretched out the other payments so that you could keep the house, but they weren't about to lose all the money.
Did they not tell you, or was there some language in what you signed when the person came over that said, oh, by the way, you're still going to have to pay this when you sell your house?
It might have happened, but people are really bewildered at that point and just so glad to keep the house. You know, because a lot of these modifications were done at the last day before a sheriff's sale, John, or the last day before the judge says you lose your foreclosure, and then that's a public record. So there was a lot of anxiety, and it doesn't excuse. I mean, if we're over 18 in Illinois, and you can read, there's no cooling off period or anything like that. The money was owed. But again, the word is, and if people can check the county recorder's office if they did modifications. If you are still in those homes and you had a modification, you can confidentially go in and look at everything that's recorded. And if you see right around the time your modification, a second recording, that's going to be one of those additional mortgages.
Should you pay it early or should you just wait until you sell the house?
No, I do it tomorrow. Because the issue is, how do you set your price point? How do you plan for the future?
Yeah,
It's not going away. Even a bankruptcy.
Does it accrue interest? Does it accrue interest?
No, it doesn't grow. It just sits there like a brick.
Okay, yeah. So it's a brick that's just tied to you. You may not know you have it, but if any of this sounds familiar, you had hardships in your home in 2008. Maybe you were about to be foreclosed on, and you worked something out with a mortgage company. Maybe just go check the recorder's office. You said in your county.
Yeah, the websites, you know, it says there on a disclaimer, and lawyers know this because we all know somebody who only relied on the screen as a title search instead of paying $150 for a title search, and then they get nailed later. But in general, for general public use, it's all there chronologically. So
okay,
you wouldn't have to look before you had problems. But 2008 until 2013, or if you had, and there's been another cycle of this where COVID, you know, people lost jobs.
For
sure.
There
was a whole other round of that during the 2019-2020. So you just scroll up. The newest stuff is on top, and then you scroll down. And
will you help? Sorry, I got to run. Will you help people do this for them?
Yes, we could definitely. We won't negotiate to get rid of that second.
But if they call you, you can explain what you just explained to me.
Yes, and we can even get on the screen with them and say, here's the two documents you want to print.
So where should people reach you, Dave?
Yeah, no problem. Anytime, out in Itasca, 630-285-5300. Always a free consult. And then the web link to my website is wgnattorney.com.
Love that. Dave, sorry I cut you off there, my friend. I got to go. But that's important information, wgnattorney.com. Greg McBride, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, John. Great to be with you again.
Yeah, for sure. And boy, the markets loved the inflation number today. I often wonder, though, it's a game of like expectation and bracing yourself. And if a number isn't so bad, sometimes the market likes it. I guess if you squint hard enough, there's something you can like in this inflation number and maybe something other people don't like in it. Is that a fair read?
Oh, I think that's fair. Yeah. I mean, if you're just looking at sort of the headlines, it more or less met expectations. When you look beneath the surface, there's some areas for concern. We continue to see pressure points on those necessary and regular household expenses, things like medical care, auto repairs, personal care, those type of things continue to go up, and they're going up at an outsized pace. So that's really putting household spending power under additional pressure.
I do wonder, though, if this eventually will seem like the boy who cried wolf. If we keep on saying, well, we're not going to feel the tariff effect yet. Not yet, not yet, not yet. Do you buy into the argument that we still may not have any idea of what the tariff effect could be? Or do you buy into the argument that, hey, maybe companies are going to try and absorb as much of this as possible? The number's been kind of floating all over the place. Or do you think maybe inventories are running out? I know I asked you three things at once, Greg, so break it down however you'd like.
I think inflation is going to get worse before it gets better. The numbers that we got today were for July, but a whole slew of tariffs went into effect here in August. And so those are going to work their way through the supply chain over the coming months. And some portion of that will ultimately end up at the consumer. The evidence of tariffs and inflation right now has been pretty modest. Businesses have been absorbing the bulk of it, but they haven't been absorbing all of it. So if even if that continues to hold, you're still going to see some form of that making its way to the consumer, and it's not all going to happen at once. It's going to happen over a period of months. So I think through the balance of the year, we're likely to see inflation at higher levels, more like 3%, maybe even a little bit above 3%, before we can resume that downward trend that we had enjoyed for the past couple of years.
The lag factor is, of course, because goods bought just take time to reach our hands. I think that's part of it. And things that are made or constructed or built with multiple parts take even longer. And then you add into the equation that a lot of business owners saw the writing on the wall and bought up a bunch of inventory. So if people are saying we would have felt it by now, Greg, would you say that not so fast?
Exactly, because there's been the start-stop, tariffs on again, off again, postponements, different exceptions being made. And so that makes it very difficult for businesses to plan. And so we did see a big stocking up of inventory in the first quarter. But since then, just with the tariffs on again, off again, we're not feeling the full effects of that. We're still continuing to see more tariffs come into effect. China's been postponed again. So, that just kicks the can down the road a little bit further on that one, too. So it's not all going to come in at once for all the reasons that you cited, but also just because the implementation of the tariffs themselves is phased in over time. It's not all coming in at any one point on the calendar.
Big companies have big decisions coming up with these tariffs because they don't want to pass it on to consumers. I imagine it's like, don't blink first, right? Wait till your competitor raises prices a little bit, then maybe you can find a more common ground. But at the same time, if it eats into your profits too long, then the shareholders are going to be a little more upset. I mean, that's got to be the tug and pull of this, right, Greg?
I'm more worried about small and mid-sized businesses that don't have the scale of the larger companies. I mean, your point is correct, right? But, think of it for smaller and mid-sized companies that don't have that scale, that don't have the negotiating power of, say, a Walmart or an Amazon. They are even more reluctant to pass it on to their customers, but they have thinner margins and are less able to absorb it themselves. So, we've seen a lot of that, particularly in the Midwest. A lot of manufacturers that use components from overseas, they've been paying these tariffs for months now, and it's really hitting the bottom line.
And you bring up a great point about small and mid-sized businesses. They don't have the scale. They also are already probably working from behind the curve on prices, like shopping at a small business. You kind of know you might be paying a little bit more, but there's that altruistic and that I want to know where my things come from aspect of buying with small businesses. Well, that only gives you, the price can't be that much higher, right? And if a big company can keep it lower longer, I hadn't really thought about that, but that really puts pressure on small businesses that are already playing with fire with their prices because they have to.
Yeah, and they've been feeling it. You're seeing a lot of small and mid-sized businesses that were really the first to feel the effect of tariffs, particularly manufacturing companies that use imported components as far as their final goods. They've been paying the tariffs for months, so they've been feeling that pain in terms of absorbing higher costs, but not necessarily having the pricing power of being able to pass that on to their customers.
Yeah, every day that the market reaches new highs, and look, I'll be a cheerleader for the American economy anytime, right? I think that's what's good for all of us. Great, that's amazing. Our 401ks all look good. And I don't know if it's just my natural apprehension, but sometimes it feels a little misplaced. And I guess the market decides that. I don't decide that. No one really knows what's going to happen next. And I think that's ultimately what maybe gives some people some pause.
Valuations are high, and that part is indisputable. So I think the hesitation is certainly well placed when you look at the valuation measures.
Greg McBride, as always, it's great to chat with you. It's been a little bit, but I'm glad you came back to the program.
I appreciate you having me, John. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Greg McBride, who's often on with John Williams, too, on the Wintrust Business Lunch, doing a great job.